بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأصلي وأسلم على نبينا الأمين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين وعلى من تمسك بسنته بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا، وأنت تجعل الحزن إن شئت سهلا. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من شر ما في هذه الليلة ونسألك أن خير ما فيه. يقول الإمام الذهبي رحمه الله تعالى في كتابه كتاب الكبائر الكبيرة الرابعة ترك الصلاة، قال الله تعالى: فخلف من بعدهم خلف أضاعوا الصلاة واتبعوا الشهوات فسوف يلقون غيا إلا من تاب. وقال الله تعالى: فويل للمصلين الذين هم عن صلاتهم ساهون الذين هم يراءون ويمنعون الماعون. وقال الله تعالى عن المجرمين يوم القيامة: ما سلككم في سقر؟ قالوا: لم نكن من المصلين. الإمام الذهبي رحمه الله تعالى إخوان in the kabira number 4 he deals with a kabira that the Ummah of Islam has been tried with during these times. As I sit here and I look into the audience, I would bet all of the money that I have that the Muslims who are connected to us, our relatives, our family members, the vast majority of them do not pray. The vast majority of our relatives do not pray the Salat of Al-Islam. And then there are a large portion of them who pray some of the prayers and they leave some of the prayers. Right here in this masjid, and you brothers are from the Ahlul Masjid, there are people from those who are present today who pray some prayers and miss other prayers. Some people who don't pray Salat al-Fajr unless it's on the weekend, or unless they make khuruj for 40 days and they were with some people who make khuruj and they woke up in the masjid, then they'll pray the Fajr prayer. So the kabira number 4 is leaving off the Salat. There's a scholar in Al-Islam by the name of, or his kunya is, Abu Zura. Not Abu Zura al-Razi, the Imam of al-Hadith, but Abu Zura al-Iraqi. He has a book called Tarh al-Tathrib. And in that book he was talking about something that was said concerning the scholar who was doing a class on fiqh, and he did what the scholars used to do in the past. When they would say, let's imagine such and such happened. لِنَفْتَرَضْ. Let's imagine this and that happened. What would be the ruling of that? So this particular scholar, he said to his students and to the people present, let's imagine that someone left the salah intentionally. The people became so upset because they didn't appreciate him giving such an example, as if he was hoping or wondering maybe one day the Muslims will become a group of people who you can even think that there's someone from amongst them who's going to leave the salah. So the community became upset with him simply because he said, let's imagine someone left the prayer, and then what would the ruling be? Because it was inconceivable that a person would leave the salat from the people before. Now the norm is that the Muslims don't pray. As it relates to the issue of leaving off the salat, this is an issue that has ikhtilaf in the between the scholars, whether or not the one who leaves it off is a kafir or not. And it's an issue that both sides have their proofs, and we should learn the etiquettes of ikhtilaf. And it's not permissible for someone who says the one who leaves a salat is a kafir. He believes in the salat, but he leaves it off as a result of being lazy. Some ulama said he's a kafir, like Al-Imam Ahmed, rahimahullah ta'ala. If one of you brothers took that position, it's not permissible for anyone to say, you're from the Khawarij, you're a takfiri, because you make kufr of the one who left the salat. That's a justified, bona fide position of the ulama in al-Islam, and they are dalil for it from the Quran and the Sunnah. And similarly, if a person took the other position, the position of the majority of ulama, the jamhur,
that the one who leaves the salah out of negligence and out of being lazy, he's not a kafir. And the Imam Shafi'i was of this opinion, and other than him. The people who take the position that he's a kafir for leaving the salah, you can't say to that individual, you're from the Murji'ah. You allow the leaving of the deeds, and you believe the person is still a Muslim? No, it's an issue of ikhtilaf that the scholars had. So therefore, we have to be fair and just. I would advise all of you to do something about reading up on this issue so that you can take a position. We have to learn about the ahkam of the salat. Today when I came for salat al-asr, I came in late, may wudu, there were people who were praying back there, over there. One brother I know in particular was praying by himself, even though the jama'ah had started, he was praying by himself because he was a traveler. So he wanted to pray salat al-dhuhr and then get with the jama'ah to pray salat al-asr. I don't know what the other people were doing. We need to learn about all of the ahkam of the salat. That the Prophet says, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, إِذَا أُقِيمَتِ الصَّلَاةِ فَلَا صَلَاةَ إِلَّا الْمَكْتُوبَةِ. If the iqamah has been made, the iqamah has been made, and the salat is established, the Muslims are praying behind the imam, it's haram, haram, la yajuz, your atham, not permissible to go anywhere in that masjid to pray. It's not permissible. If you have already prayed those prayers, get with the people and pray with them. Or get lost so no one can see you. It's not permissible to sit on the side, nor is it permissible for you to pray the two rak'ahs of Fajr while the imam is making those salat. The point is, ikhwani, we have to learn about the ahkam of salat from A to Z. Our children have to know about the ahkam of the salat. So as it relates to this issue, there's ikhtilaf between the ulama. The scholars of Islam took care of this issue, and they wrote books. Those of you who have the book, Aqidatu Ashab al-Hadith, Aqidatu Salaf, wa Ashab al-Hadith, the Aqidah of the Salaf, the people of the Hadith, by Imam al-Sabuni, I believe that's been translated. When he came to this issue, he said, and leaving off the salat is ikhtilaf between the ulama. And Imam al-Shafi'i and the Jumhur of the ulama were of the opinion that he's not a kafir. But Imam Ahmed had the position that he was a kafir. The scholars wrote about this issue. So it's not permissible for someone to come now and to be rough and tough against the other position because bona fide scholars took the position on this issue. Concerning Imam al-Dhahabi, he was Hanbali. And the Hanbali madhab is that in general they take the position that you are a kafir. A Shaykh ibn Baz, a Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen, they were from the Hanbali madhab, mujtahids. And they used to say that the one who leaves the salat is a kafir. What I mean by leaving the salat, they said if a person was lazy, like our relatives, our mother, our father, brothers, sisters, our wives, our brother's wife, so forth and so on. If that person didn't leave or make the salat, but he believes in salat, a Shaykh ibn Baz says he's a kafir. If he dies like that, you can't inherit from him. If he dies like that, you have to bury him with the kuffar. You can't marry him. If his wife wants a divorce, they're divorced automatically. That's the Hanbali position. Sheikh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah was of the opinion that they're kuffar. Al-Dhahabi, a student of Ibn Taymiyyah, it's not clear what his position is from this particular chapter. It's not clear. And if you had to take a position, it seems that al-Dhahabi doesn't make takfir of the one who leaves the salat out of negligence. It seems like that. He was around scholars who wrote about the issue like al-Imam ibn al-Qayyim, who has a book, ikhwan, that is called dealing with this issue alone. As-salat wa hukm tarikiha. The salat and the rules concerning the one who left it. And he brought all of the adilla from the Quran and from the sunnah and the statements of the imam of this ummah to prove that he's a kafir. Al-Imam al-Albani had a book, As-salat wa hukm tarikiha. And the scholars wrote about it in the books of fiqh. One of the best books that I found concerning this issue is the book by Mustafa ibn Ismail al-Sulaymani, which is called Sabil al-Najat fi Bayan Hukm Tarik al-Salat. Mustafa ibn Ismail al-Sulaymani is Abu al-Hasan al-Ma'rabi. He gathered together the aqwal of the a'imma and the statements of the people, and then he gave as a position what he thought was the truth. He has a very beneficial book. And Imam al-Dhahabi brings three ayat from the Quran to prove if you leave off the prayer out of negligence, then you are a kafir. Concerning this hukum, ikhwan, the one who says praying is not beneficial, I don't have to pray. They had to pray back then, but I don't have to pray now. If you pray, it looks funny and I feel like a chicken. The one who says that is a kafir with the ijma' of the ulama. No ikhtilaf in that. The Muslim who makes a jahd, he says, I don't have to pray. Praying isn't wajib, and so forth and so on. If someone says that, all of the ulama say he's a kafir. The one who didn't pray because he forgot, or he didn't know, all of the ulama say he's not a kafir. Ijma. The ikhtilaf is in the issue. The one who leaves the salah, he believes in it, he knows it's wajib, he knows it's beneficial, but he's lazy. Like our relatives. He's lazy. What is the hukum? It's ikhtilat. And Imam al-Dhahabi brings three ayat from the Quran that prove whether he's a kafir or not a kafir, leaving off the salat is a kabira from the kada'ir. The first statement is a statement of Allah Azza wa Jal when he said, and then there came after them a group of people who lost the salat. And they follow the shahawat. فَسَوْفَ يَلْقَوْنَ غَيَّا إِلَّا مَنْ آمَنَ إِلَّا مَنْ تَابَ وَآمَنَ وَعَمِلَ الصَّالِحَةِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ يَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةِ وَلَا يُظْلَمُونَ شَيْئًا. Allah described in this ayat in the Quran in Surah Al-Maryam, ayat number 59, some believers who came before. And then after describing the righteous salihin from those people, Allah Azza wa Jalla said, and then there came after them a group of people who lost the salah and they followed their shahawat. These people are going to go into the hellfire. They're going to get a punishment. Except the one who makes tawbah for what he did, left off the salah and followed his shahawat. And they also, after making tawbah, they believed. And after that, they did the righteous deeds. Those people will enter into the Jannah and they will not be oppressed one bit. So the scholars use this as a dalil, and it's clear that Allah Azza wa Jalla said that they left off the salah and that they're going to enter into the hellfire. And he said, unless they have iman again, they believe again because they became kuffar. So that's one of the strong dalils, but it's not a dalil that is very strong. That dalil by itself doesn't prove or show that someone is a non-Muslim because he left off the salah. Why? It doesn't prove that he's a non-Muslim, number one, because in this ayat, ida'atu salat, they lost the salah, has been explained by the companions. What is the meaning of losing the salah? Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, the meaning of ida'atu salat here means that they didn't take care of the time of the salah. They prayed the salat of the munafiq, waited until the time almost went out, and then they pray very quickly. He wants to watch Chelsea play in the semifinals, so while the game is going, he doesn't want to get up. He says, I'm going to make the salat at halftime. And then when halftime comes, he goes and he prays real quick. That's what the ayat is talking about, with the text that comes from the companions of Rasulullah. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So their understanding of the ayat is a dalil. Secondly, ikhwan, in the ayat, Allah mentioned two crimes, that they lost the salat and they also followed their shahawat. So there are some people who follow their shahawat. Everybody who follows their shahawat does not become a kafir. Everyone who follows his desires, most people are going to follow their desires. So this dalil by itself does not stand up, because there's, for the most part, most people, they are negligent with the times of the salah. Nonetheless, delaying the salah, losing the salah, is a kabira from the kaba'ir. The second dalil he brought, ikhwan, was the statement of Allah Ta'ala, فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ. Woe unto the prayers. الَّذِينَ هُمْ مِنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ. Those people who, concerning their salah, they are negligent. Again, this is not a dalil. And the reason why it's not a dalil is because the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said that the meaning of this ayat, الَّذِينَ هُمْ مَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ, those people who are negligent about their salah, this ayat is talking about the people who neglect the time. They're negligent about the salah, meaning they don't have the khushu' in the salah. They have a lahu in the salah, they're playing. When it's time for the salah, one of them is looking around. And you come into the masjid, in this masjid, and he's praying over here. And he looks at you when you come into the door. That's the meaning of this ayat, according to the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it is not a dalil by itself. The third and last dalil from the Quran that Al-Imam Al-Dhahabi brought was the statement of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, when it will be said yawm al-qiyamah to the mujrimeen, to the criminals, مَا سَلَكَكُمْ بِالسَّقَرْ, what caused you people to be in the hellfire? They will respond, قَالُوا لَمْ نَكُمْ مِنَ الْمُسَلِّينَ, we are in the hellfire because we didn't used to pray. And Al-Imam Al-Dhahabi stopped there. That's the extent of this ayah. What caused you people to wind up in the saqar, in the hellfire? They say we weren't from those who pray. But if you continue the ayah, you'll see that this is not enough to make a person a kafir. Because they went on to mention something else that they used to didn't do. وَلَمْ نَكُمْ نُطْعِمْ الْمِسْكِينَ, and we also didn't feed the poor. So the Muslim who doesn't feed the poor, does he become a kafir and he goes into the hellfire? Of course not. The ayah is talking about those people were kuffar and they didn't see salat as being something from the deen. They didn't see the haq of the masakeen and the fuqara, talking about the kuffar. So these adilla by themselves, they don't show that the person is a kafir. Probably the strongest dalil from the Quran for the people who see that leaving the salat is kufr is the statement of Allah in Surah At-Tawbah. And it's two ayahs that are similar. Anyway, the one in question is the statement of Allah Ta'ala, إِلَّا مَنْ تَابَ إِلَّا إِنْ تَابَ وَأَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ فَإِخْوَانُكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ. Allah was talking to Rasulullah ﷺ about how to deal with those kuffar. And Allah said, but if they make tawbah and they establish the salah and they give the zakat, then they are your brothers in the deen. So it's understood from that, if they don't make tawbah and come to the deen, and they don't establish the salah and give zakat, then they're not your brothers in the deen. So those are the three adillah, but there are more adillah that the ulama use to show that leaving the Quran, leaving the salah is kufr, and those three are from the Quran. As for the sunnah has some clearer proofs. Al-Imam al-Dhahabi said, rahimahullahu ta'ala, وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الأهد الذي بيننا وبينهم الصلاة فمن تركها فقد كفر وقال صلى الله عليه وسلم من فاتته صلاة العصر حبط عمله. الإمام الذهبي said, from the dalil to show that they are kuffar is that the hadith of Rasulullah that is authentic, صلى الله عليه وسلم, the difference between us, العهد, the contract, the difference is the best translation here. The difference between us and them is the salah. So anyone who leaves it has disbelieved. And then the second hadith, whoever misses salat al-asr, then his deeds will be rendered null and void. Another hadith says, whoever misses salat al-asr, it is as if he has lost all of his money and all of his family. That's the seriousness of a salat, ikhwan. The salat in al-Islam. The salat in al-Islam is that issue that no matter what, that salat is never going to be taken off of you. You only have to fast if you have the ability to fast. You don't have to fast if you're traveling or if you're sick. You only have to give zakat if you have the money to give zakat. If you don't have the money, you don't have to give zakat. You only have to make hajj if you have the money or the role is safe and you have the ability and the sister has the muhram. The muhram. If you don't have that, you don't have to make any of the arkan of al-Islam, the last three. But concerning the salat, no matter what, if you can only pray sitting down, you pray sitting down. If you can pray just moving your eyes, salat never comes off of you. Even in jihad, half of the community pray one rak'ah. while the other half guard the Muslims. After they finish the one rak'ah, the other people come to pray the second rak'ah, and those people protect the Muslims. The salat that the Prophet used to say to Bilal, radiallahu anhu, arihna bis salat ya Bilal. Rasulullah used to say to Bilal, hey Bilal, make us comfortable with the prayer. Meaning, when Bilal made the adhan for salah and it was time to pray, this used to cause Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tranquility. He used to get a raha. Unlike the people today, salah is a burden. I have to get up and pray fajr. Okay, I'm going to get up, but I'm going to pray very quickly and jump back in the bed. Arihna bis salat ya Bilal. Bilal, make us comfortable with the prayer. I'm going to be in communion, in communication with Allah, reading His kalam. He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said to his companions, وَجُعِلَتْ لِيَ الصَّلَاةِ قُرُّةُ عَيْنِ. The salah has been made a cooler of my eyes. That's how Rasulullah used to look at the prayer in al-Islam. He would be on a journey, and on the journey, ikhwani, before going to get the people, he would say, hold on, hold on. Let's see if we hear the adhan. And he will wait. If he heard the adhan, they'll keep going. If he didn't hear the adhan for salah, they'll go down and pounce upon the people and pulverize them. The salah was an example of the iman in the Islam of the people. As we mentioned today, it's the opposite, ikhwani. A man wants to marry his daughter to a man, he doesn't ask, does he make salah? Wallahi, leaving off salah is a bigger crime than drinking khamr. Leaving off salah is a bigger crime than making zina. If a man made zina and our family heard about it, became public, we won't let our daughters marry him, and rightly so. But wallahi, leaving salah is greater than zina or drinking khamr. It's a bigger kabira. It is the most important rukn from the arkan of al-Islam after the shahadatain. So if a person left Salat al-Asr, his deeds will be rendered null and void. What about all of the prayers? All of the prayers every day. The prayer that the Prophet said about it, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَوَّلُ مَا يُحَاسَبُ بِهِ الْعَبْدُ يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ مِنْ عَمِلِهِ الصَّلَاةِ فَإِنْ صَلُحَتْ أَنْجَحَ وَأَفْلَحَ وَإِنْ فَسَدَتْ خَابَ وَخَسِرَ. The very first thing Allah is going to ask you about يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ, concerning your deeds after the grave, concerning living in this life, is his prayer. If his prayer was right and exact, then the rest of the deeds will be right and exact. If the prayers were not right and exact, they were wanting, lacking, the rest of his deeds are going to be wanting and lacking. So the salat in al-Islam, ikhwan, is an important issue. Al-Imam al-Dhahibi, rahimahullah ta'ala, went on to say, وعنه صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم بين العبد وبين الشرك ترك الصلاة. The thing that is between a slave and shirk is if he leaves off the salah. And the Prophet didn't mention in this hadith, صلى الله عليه وسلم, he left it intentionally. He left it as a result of being negligent. If a person leaves off the salah with intent, or whether it's negligence, he left it, this hadith says, then between him and leaving off the salah and shirk is, him, between him and shirk is leaving off the salah. He went on to say, rahimahullahu ta'ala, and he began this hadith in the middle, من ترك الصلاة متعمدا فقد برأت منه ذمة الله. Authentic hadith. Whoever intentionally leaves off the prayer, the protection of Allah will be taken away from him. The dhimma of Allah, Allah's protection, Allah's guidance, Allah's pleasure will be taken from him. This hadith has a beginning that we want to mention here because it is important. In the beginning of the hadith, Abu Darda radiallahu anhu said, أوصاني رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بتسع قال لا تشرك بالله شيئا وإن قطعت أو حركت وَلَا تَتْرُكَنَّ الصَّلَاةِ مُتَعَمِّدًا فَمَنْ تَرَكَ الصَّلَاةِ مُتَعَمِّدًا فَقَدْ بَرَأَ مِنْهُ ذِمَّةُ اللَّهِ. Abu Darda said, I heard 9 things that Rasulullah gave me a wasiyah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Before he died, he told me to take care of 9 things. He said the first thing is, don't make shirk with Allah, even if they cut you into pieces or they were to burn you. Don't make shirk with Allah. Which shows us the other side of the story, ikhwan. If a Muslim is compelled in his religion to do haram, if he's compelled to do haram, Al-Islam has opened up the way for him. Unfortunately, ikhwan, whether it's the salat or the aqidah, the Muslims have lost the plot. I've heard, up until today, four different occasions, where Muslims are saying that the Pope, we don't know if he died as a Muslim or non-Muslim. The Pope may be in Jannah, because he may have embraced Islam before he died. And other people even said he was a good man. When did the Muslims start having doubt about issues like that? A person who's the representative of shirk and tathleef. لَقَدْ كَفَرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ ثَالِثُ ثَلَاثَ. They disbelieve those who say Allah is one of three. A person is the representative of that aqidah, and the Muslims say, you can't say that he's a non-Muslim. إِنَّ الدِّينَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الْإِسْلَامِ. The religion with Allah is al-Islam. وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِي غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينَ فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْهُ وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. That's the Quran. In Sahih Muslim, the Prophet told us sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لَا يَسْمَعُ بِيَا رَجُلٌ مِّنْ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ يَهُودِيٌّ وَلَا نَصْرَانِيٌّ ثُمَّ لَمْ يُؤْمِنْ بِهِ إِلَّا دَخَرَ النَّارِ. There is no man from this ummah who hears about me, whether he is a Yahud or a Nasrani, and then he doesn't believe in me, except that he will enter into the hellfire. But if we're going to say Al-Islam is the religion of truth, we're going to have to be able to prove how Al-Islam has answered all of the issues for the human being. So one of the issues that the human being is confronted with is, sometimes he's going to be compelled to do what is haram. What does Al-Islam do? Al-Islam allows the door to be open, to give you a chance. حُرِّمَتْ عَلَيْكُمَ الْمَيْتَةُ وَالْدَّمُ وَلَحْمُ الْخِنْزِيرِ وَمَاءُ إِلَّا لِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ بِهِ. All of those things that are haram to eat. Blood, dead meat, the thing that was slaughtered for other than Allah Azza wa Jal, the animal that was strangled, the animal that was gored, the animal that was eaten by other animals, the animal that was slaughtered for the altars, all of that, haram. And then at the end of the ayat, Allah Azza wa Jal said, فَمِنَ اتُّرَّ فِي مَخْمَسَةٍ غَيْرُ مُتِجَانِفٍ لِإِثْمٍ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. But whoever was compelled to eat that, whoever was forced to eat it, Allah is forgiven. If he's compelled, Allah will forgive you. Allah Azza wa Jal will forgive you in your religion when you're compelled and you're forced to do this or you're forced to do that. So, as it relates to Al-Islam, Al-Islam is the religion of truth, ikhwani, and we have to make it our business to learn about the aqidah of Al-Islam, to be able to say that the man who died on other than Al-Islam, we judge him based upon the zahir. And then after knowing about the correct aqidah, the most important rukun from the arkan of the Islam is the salah. In this hadith here, Rasulullah says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do not make shirk, except even if they burnt you or they cut you up. So the point that we wanted to make was, in the case with Ammar ibn Yasir, he saw his father and he saw his mother killed before his very eyes. And everyone knows what the kuffar did to his mother, how they stabbed her with the spear. They asked Ammar, now what do you have to say about Islam and Muhammad? Ammar started cursing Islam and started cursing Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But his iman caused him to go to Rasulullah. He told Rasulullah what happened. Rasulullah said, how's your heart? كيف تجد قلبك? How's your heart? He said, أؤمن بالله ورسولي. I believe in Allah and His Messenger. Rasulullah said, إن عادوا فعد. If they take you again, say the same thing again. If they persecute you again, say the same thing again. Curse me, curse the deen. And then Allah Azza wa Jal revealed the ayat of the Quran, مَنْ كَفَرَ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ بَعْدِ إِيمَانِهِ إِلَّا مَنْ أُكْرِهَ وَقَلْبُهُ مُطْمَئِنُّ بِالْإِيمَانِ وَلَكِنْ مَنْ شَرَحَ بِالْكُفْرِ صَدْرًا فَعَلَيْهِمْ غَضَبٌ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. Anybody who changes after iman and disbelieves in Allah, except the one who believes that he was compelled. So this hadith, ikhwan, it shows the two extremes. On one hand, you can be like Ammar, and you could take the easy way out. On the other hand, you could be like Bilal, and say, Ahad, Ahad. On the other hand, you can be like the father of Ammar, Yasin, and his mother, and don't change your religion. So you have to decide when you're being compelled. When do you take that side, and when do you take this side? If it's just you, by yourself, then take the strong way. No, I'm not going to do it. I don't want the job. But if other people are behind you, family members, children, people you're responsible for, Al-Islam allows you to take the weak way out. But when you take the weak way out, you still have to make an attempt to get out of your situation. So, whoever leaves off the salat intentionally, he will be outside of the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-Imam al-Dhahabi, he said, rahimahullahu ta'ala, that Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu qal, أَمَّا أَنَّهُ لَا حَظْ لِأَحَدٍ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ أَضَعَ الصَّلَاةِ. Umar said, the one who leaves off the prayer, he doesn't have any portion of Al-Islam. The one who was not praying, his hazz from Al-Islam has been left. Umar also said, and I want to remind you brothers of the statement of Umar radiallahu anhu, مَنْ لَمْ يُحُجْ وَهُوَ قَادِرٌ عَلَيْهِ فَلْيَمُوتْ يَهُودِيًا أَوْ نَصْرَانِيًا. Whoever dies, and he never made hajj, and he had the ability to do it, then let him die as a Jew or Christian. I make hajj when I'm 40. I make hajj when I get married. I make hajj when I get out of debt. No, the Muslim has to hurry up and make hajj. So Umar radiallahu anhu was of the opinion that if a person left the prayer, he was a kafir. In addition to that, ikhwan, comes one of the most important issues of this chapter that we want you to concentrate on. One of the most important issues as it relates to judging the one who leaves a salah. And that is Al-Imam al-Dhahabi's statement, rahimahullahu ta'ala, كان أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يرون شيئا من الأعمال تركه كفرا غير الصلاة. The companions of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم did not see the leaving off of any action or deed as being kufr other than the salah. And this is one of the issues that I have. I've been back and forth on the issue of the tarak al-salah. One month I say they're kuffar. The next month I say no, they're Muslims. And next month you say no, they're kuffar. Next month you say no, they're Muslims. What's one of the reasons why you're saying that they are kuffar? Because our da'wah is the da'wah and the aqidah of the salaf of this ummah. And the companions are at the top of the list, radiallahu anhu. And you're not going to find any companion, and except that he said, whoever left salat is a kafir. You're not going to find a companion with the other position. There's ijma' from the companions that the tariq of the salat is a kafir. But the other position that says, no, they're not kuffar, they're Muslims, is that if everyone who left the salat was a kafir, wallahi, the majority of our ummah are kuffar. And is that conceivable that the majority of the Muslims are kuffar? You brothers, as you sit there, those people were connected to you. Most of them don't pray. Are we going to believe that the majority of the Ummah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam are all kuffar? That's a big pill and a bitter pill to swallow. But that's not enough. If we refuse to make takfir of the people simply based upon that, that's put on our aql before the naql. The companions have ijma that they're kuffar. So we have to add on to that. Intellect. What do we add on to it? Those many scholars who took the other position. And they took those other positions based upon dalil from the Quran and the Sunnah. Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned in the Quran, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَنْ يَغْفِرَ يُشْرَكَ بِي وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ. Allah will not forgive that you make shirk with Him, but He'll forgive everything other than that. Which caused some of the scholars to say, leaving off the salah is less than shirk. قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَى أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. Say to my servants, O my servants, who have gone overboard and you made a lot of sins, don't give up from the rahmah of Allah. Allah forgives all sins except shirk. So the companions of Rasulullah ﷺ, they didn't see the one who left the cat as a kafir. Some of them did, some of them didn't. When Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, I'm going to fight them, Umar and the companions stood up and said, how are you going to fight a group of people who say, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah? Abu Bakr said, Rasulullah says, صلى الله عليه وسلم, أمرت أن نقاتل الناس حتى يشهدوا لا إله إلا الله وأن محمد عبده ورسوله ويقيم الصلاة ويؤتوا الزكاة. And that's why zakat is the next kabira. Zakat always comes after the salat in the Quran. So the companions were not in agreement. The one who left the zakat is a kafir. But they were in agreement that the one who left the salat was a non-Muslim. He went on to say, Akhwani, rahimahullahu ta'ala. وقال الإمام ابن حزم رحمه الله تعالى لا ذنب بعد الشرك أعظم من ترك الصلاة حتى يخرج وقتها وقتل المؤمن بغير حق. الإمام ابن حزم, the Imam of the Zahiri Madhab, said, there is no crime or sin that is greater after shirk. The next greatest crime is leaving the prayer until the time of the prayer went out, and killing someone unjustly. So what did Al-Imam Al-Dhahibi do? He brought first shirk is the first kabira, and then killing someone, and then magic, and then number three, leaving off the salat, is the fourth kabira. So the scholars of Al-Islam, Ikhwan, and the regular Muslims of Al-Islam, they always look at the salat as being an issue that determines and proves a person's Islam and his Iman. Especially during these times, where the Muslims on a daily basis are in a campaign and they're in a perpetual war to practice their Islam. So the people who really want to be real Muslims, one of the things they try to hold on to in these terrible times is the prayer. Especially when you come to the masjid to make that salah. For it to be an issue that people look at, you can leave it if you want, you can take it if you want. There's something grossly wrong with the mentality of the Muslim Ummah today, and the fact that we look at the Salat as being an issue where you can marry someone or marry your daughter to someone or your son to someone and they don't pray. It's not permissible to marry your daughter to someone who doesn't pray, because that's open fisq. Open fisq. The tayyibun are for the tayyibat, and the tayyibat are for the tayyibin. The one who doesn't pray is from the people who are the people of al-khubth, dirt and filth. Al-Imam al-Dhahabi, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he went on to say, on the authority of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiyallahu anhu, أن الرجل قال يا رسول الله اتق الله فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ويلك ألست أحق أهل الأرض أن اتقي الله؟ فقال خالد بن وليد رضي الله عنه يا رسول الله دعني أضرب أنقى. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم لا لعله أن يكون يصلي. The Prophet ﷺ, he distributed the spoils of war. ذو خويسرة, the Imam of the Khawarij, the big fitna of the Ummah that Rasulullah knew was going to happen sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He wasn't pleased with the distribution. So he said, Ya Rasulullah, fear Allah. Fear Allah, be just. Fear Allah. Rasulullah said, woe unto you. If I don't fear Allah, who from amongst you can fear Allah? Khalid ibn Walid said, Ya Rasulullah, let me chop his head off. Let me kill him. Munafiq, kafir, saying something like that. Rasulullah said, no, don't kill him. It may be that he prays. It may be that he prays. The fact that the man prayed was a protection for his blood in this issue, even though he deserved to be prayed. He deserved to be killed. And the reason why he wasn't killed is because of the fitna. Killing him would have created a bigger fitna, but he deserved to be killed. But that's from the fiqh of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And from the fiqh of Imam al-Dhahabi is that he put this hadith here to show that the salat of the man was the reason why Rasulullah gave sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in front of the people, and it shows the importance of the salat. He didn't say, maybe, it may be he's good to his mother and his father. It may be he gives a lot of sadaqah to the fuqara and the masakeen and the masajid. It may be that he makes salah, he makes jihad and defends Islam. Said no, don't kill him. It may be that the man is a person who takes care of the salah. فَإِنْ عَسَبُوا مِنِّي فَإِنْ فَعْلُوا ذَلِكَ فَقَدْ عَسَبُوا مِنِّي دِمَاءَهُمْ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ إِلَّا بِحَقِّهَا وَحِسَابُوا مَعَلَى اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. I've been ordered to kill the people until they say لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله, and they make salah and give the zakah. If they do that, their blood and their money has become protected. I don't take their blood and their money except by the haqq of al-Islam. I take the diyah. If one of them kills someone else, then they are killed, and so forth and so on. So the salat, ikhwani, it is something that will protect the blood of a Muslim. We're almost done here. He went on to say, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, man lam yuhafiz, this hadith, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, according to this hadith, من لم يحافظ على الصلاة لم يكن له نور ولا برهان ولا نجاة يوم القيامة وكان مع قارون وفرعون وهامان وأبي جهل وأبي بن خلف. Whoever does not protect the prayer and take care of the prayer, he will not have any light يوم القيامة, nor will he be successful, nor will he have a burhan. And he will be raised up with Qarun, and he will be raised up with Fir'aun, and he will be raised up with Haman, and he will be raised up with Abu Jahl and Ubay ibn Khalif. This hadith is not authentic. This hadith is not authentic. But again, what do we mention at the beginning of our lectures in Kitab al-Kaba'ir? The minhaj of the muhaddithin, like Al-Imam al-Dhahabi, like Al-Imam al-Nawawi, in Riyad al-Salihin, whenever they bring weak hadith, when do they do it? They always bring it at the end of the chapter. They never make the weak hadith, the first dalil they're trying to prove. It's always after the ayat, and then the authentic hadith, and then at the end, they bring the weak hadith. And when they bring the weak hadith, they'll say, وَعَنَ النَّبِي, and it is said that the Prophet said, وَرُوِيَ عَنَ النَّبِي, and it is narrated. So these scholars would use the weak hadith in order to strengthen this particular position, but they did not rely upon the weak hadith. And we're going to come to a chapter in this book, lying on Rasulullah as a kabira from the kabair. So when you narrate a weak hadith that he didn't say, you're falling into a kabira from the kabair. So when Imam al-Dhahabi knew that, he's a muhaddith, a hafiz in al-Islam. So this hadith is not authentic, and it's one of the famous hadith to prove the danger of leaving salat. So remember, whoever doesn't protect the hadith, the salat, he will be raised up with Qarun, Fir'aun, Haman, Abu Jahl, and Ubay ibn Ka'b. That is a weak hadith. That's mashhur, well known. It's weak. Naam. Whoever doesn't hold on and protect the salah. Shukran, ya akhi. Finally, Al-Imam al-Dhahabi, he said, rahimahullahu ta'ala, and this is why I said, you don't get the clear indication of what his position is with the one who leaves off the salah. He said, فَمُؤَخَّرَ الصَّلَاةِ عَنْ وَقْتِهَا صَاحِبْ كَبِيرًا وَتَارِكُهَا بِالْكُلِّيَّةِ أَعْنِي الصَّلَاةَ الْوَاحِدَةِ كَمَنْ زَنَى وَسَرِقَ لأن ترك كل صلاة أو تفويتها كبيرة فإن فعل ذلك مرات كان من أهل الكبائر إلا أن يتوب فإن لازم ترك الصلاة فهو من الأخسرين الأشقياء المجرمين. From what I understand from this, he's not making takfir of the one who leaves off the salah. He said, the one who delays the prayer until the time goes out, he is a person who has committed a kabira. He's a sahib al-kabira. And the one who leaves the salat in totality, أعني الصلاة الواحد, the one who leaves one salat, he just doesn't pray that one prayer, he is like the one who makes zina, or the one who is a thief. Because leaving off the salat until the time goes out, it is a form of stealing, and it's a kabira. And whoever does it multiple times, time and time again, he is from the people of Al-Kaba'ir, except that he makes Tawbah. Except that he makes Tawbah. But if he continuously does this, then he's from the losers, from the ashqiya, the mujrimeen. He's from the criminals. And those people will be saddened, Yawm al-Qiyamah. That last sentence that he closed the chapter out with, it appears in this book alone that Al-Imam al-Dahabi was the opinion that the Tarak al-Salah wasn't a kafir. Wallahu alam. We're not going to state that emphatically because al-Dahabi has many books that you have to read to bring all of his kalam together to get the final position of the Imam. But in Kitab al-Kaba'ir, that is not clear up until this point. Wallahu a'la wa a'lam. So, ikhwani, the salat in al-Islam, to leave it is a kabira from the Kaba'ir. Whoever leaves the salat, he fell into kufr. But he fell into the kufr of actions. If he left the salat al-Fajr to come and go out, he fell into kufr because Rasulullah called leaving salat kufr, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But there's two types of kufr. Kufr that takes you out of the religion and kufr that doesn't take you out of the religion. The kufr al-amali, the kufr of actions. To curse the Muslim is kufr of actions. But it doesn't take you out of the religion. But if a person left the salat saying it's not beneficial, it doesn't bring any benefit, I don't have to pray it, and he knows what he's saying, then this is the kufr akbar that takes him out of the religion and he becomes a kafir and he is killed as a murtad. He's killed as a murtad because he left the religion of Islam. As for he leaves the salat out of being lazy, it's a kabira from the kaba'ir, but there is ikhtilaf between the scholars and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. It seems, ikhwan, that the people who say he's not a kafir, their dalil are stronger and more in number. Like the two ayahs that we mentioned. Also the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yawm al-qiyamah, they're going to come a group of people, and all they're going to say is, la ilaha illallah. And they're going to say, we found our mothers and fathers saying that, and that's all we know. And Rasulullah said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that's going to benefit them, la ilaha illallah. The narrator of the hadith, Abu Dharr, said, ya Rasulullah, but they didn't pray, and they didn't fast. Rasulullah said, it's going to benefit them. Abu Dharr said, but they didn't pray, they didn't fast. He said, it's going to benefit them. Abu Dharr said, but they didn't pray, they didn't fast. Rasulullah said, ala raghm anfi Abu Dharr, despite the nose of Abu Dharr, it's going to benefit them. In another hadith, he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, خَمْسَ صَلَوَاتٍ افْتَرَضَهُنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْعَبِيدِ. Five prayers Allah made wajib upon the servants. Whoever takes care of them will come yawm al-qiyamah with nur and burhan with Allah. And whoever comes and he doesn't take care of them, he will be under the mashi'ah of Allah. If he wants, he'll punish them. If he doesn't want, he'll forgive them. Five prayers to be done in the day and the night. Whoever comes and he took care of him, he'll have the protection of Allah. Whoever comes and he's not taking care of them, then Allah Azza wa Jal will put him under the mashi'ah of Allah. And there are many ahadith like that from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. And Allah knows best as to the reality of the issue. What we should do is be like the first Muslims were. When the Shaykh gave the class and he said, for the sake of argument, let's say that someone doesn't pray. The people got upset and said, don't give that example. What do you mean, Shaykh, if the people don't pray? Are you hoping that? Are you wishing that? Are you going to open the door for someone to think, maybe I don't have to pray because the ruling will be this or that? The community took offense to the example. Now, the Shaykh has to give the example. Let's just say, for an example, everybody in the city prays. The person, hey Shaykh, where you get that example for? That's not real. And he becomes upset because that's the reality of our situation. The Prophet, when he was dying, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he lost consciousness. When he woke up, he said, what? As-salat, as-salat, wa ma malakat aymanukum. And he fell out. The prayer, two times. Take care of the prayer, and what your right hands possess. Holds under your authority. And he fell out. He came through again. What did he say? Did he talk about the Dajjal? Did he talk about Jannah? He said, As-salat, as-salat, wa ma malakat aymanukum. The prayer, and what your right hands possess. If that's not enough proof, ikhwan, to show the severity and the seriousness of leaving the salah, then Allahu alam what is. The companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they would be afflicted with a disease or a sickness, but that would not allow them to believe they could stay home for the salah. He would call him and he would call him, and they would bring him to the masjid. Why? Because everyone else in the community used to consider the one who didn't come to the masjid is a munafiq. أَثْقَلَ الصَّلَاةِ عَلَى الْمُنَافِقِينَ صَلَاةِ الْفَجْرِ وَصَلَاةِ الْعِشَاءِ. The most difficult salah on the munafiqeen. Salah is difficult on the munafiqeen. يُرَاؤُونَ. They just pray to show the people. وَلَا يَذْكُرُونَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا وَلَا يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. They don't really pray. They're not really praying. يُرَاؤُونَ النَّاسِ. They just want the people to see, I'm not a munafiq. But they don't really mean that. So those companions used to make sure that they would come to the masjid in order for one of them not to be labeled as this person has hypocrisy in him. But now again, as we mentioned, someone would marry a girl who doesn't pray, or marry his sister to a boy who doesn't pray. That marriage is not permissible. You're not taking care of the amana. You're not taking care of the amana. So we're going to stop here, inshallah.